Before I get into my message, many of you, we've kind of given you, I think we might have put it out in the I don't remember if we did or not, but our prayer teams and our leadership has definitely been prompted to pray for our brother Kyle as he went back to Africa. Some of you know that. Some of you, I think I spoke about it here, that there was the opportunity to get into prisons in major ways. Possibly up to 613 prisons in the United States that have a possible open door. But he went to two countries, Burundi and Lesotho, and I talked to him for quite a while this week. And I just wanted to give you an update simply because it's kind of in the same vein of what you're hearing already, okay? So the point was these two countries called him because they had heard about what happened in Malawi. And those of you who don't know this, I'm not going to go into all that, but the nation was called to repentance, and they went down there and had foresights and just saw God do amazing things. And even the president of the country came out and said, I'm calling our nation to repentance. And they have seen tremendous things since then in Malawi. But going here, he was going to meet with the president of Burundi and then the king of Lesotho. Both of these are South African nations, on not real close together. But in fact, Lesotho is kind of an odd nation. You should look it up sometime. I don't know another nation like this. You can look up South Africa, and it's a decent-sized nation. And right in the middle of it is Lesotho. It's a nation within a nation. It's surrounded by one nation. And I'm going, I don't think I've ever seen that, where there's an island nation inside another nation. And so any which way you go, you're going to be in South Africa. So it's different. But anyways, he went to Burundi. And just as he was going, the president of Burundi had an emergency meeting that he had to do, and he could not meet with Kyle and the team. And although they were a little disheartened, they just felt like God told them. And they did send people from the government with them to take them around to places and stuff. But he said, the hunger is just so great that it's just crazy how fast people respond and how quickly when you begin to share the gospel, it just fascinates people, and they come in droves. And so they had several days in Burundi where they saw just a lot of people. You could gather a crowd real easily. When they got there, they didn't know what they would meet, and here there were 700 people waiting to meet them in a nation that they had never been to before, and that's how much they were received in that place. And so then just a few days later, they went over to the country of Lesotho. And it's not a big country at all, and it is more of a monarchy. It's got a king, and the king who was going to meet had to go to a funeral of another dignitary in, I believe it was Ghana, and so he wasn't going to be there, but he sent his main assistant to meet them, and they were greeted again the same way. And Kyle just said, God, you know what's going on. You know why this is working like it is. We don't have to meet with them to have great influence. And so they began to go out and just be led about in different places. And there's just a couple remarkable things that I want to share with you, because it's so remarkable that you're going, only God can do that. So he gets to a place, and they take him to a place where David Livingston had his last place there in Lesotho, and they have it marked with a white stone, and that's the place where David Livingston, in case you don't know, he's a great missionary, and so they marked that place, and so Kyle took a little time there, and there was a crowd that gathered there because they were American, and they had the government entourage a little bit with them. And so he began to do some speaking and stuff, but then he noticed a young man off to the side, and he felt that God spoke to him and said, that young man needs Jesus. And he just said, I noticed him. He was just a regular Lesothan African shirtless guy standing off on the edge of the crowd. And Kyle walked over to him, began to explain Jesus to him, and just talked to him about, surrendering his life to the Lord. And that man just did that right there. And then he said, well, would you like to be baptized? And he says, absolutely. So they walked over to the river, and by the time they got over there and Kyle began to explain baptism, 9 other people had said, we also want to be baptized. And so he began to go in the water into this river and baptize people. And a young man got baptized and eight others. And just as he was getting ready to baptize the 10th person, the people started yelling like crazy, and he didn't know what was going on. And they said, "Get out, get out, get out." And here crocodiles were surrounding them in the water while they were baptizing. And Kyle said, "I didn't even know there were crocodiles there." And so he obeyed and got out of the water so he wasn't eaten by crocodiles. But I guess our baptisms are pretty tame comparatively. But it is interesting. But he said the hunger is just so tremendous. But the thing that I want to tell you is one of these, and please don't hold me to this because I know that, I don't know who the person was exactly, but I was thinking it was this guy from the government that had been assigned to them, that told Kyle, he said, "This is what I'm talking about for where you're at today." He said, 175 years ago, I believe the woman was either the wife of a king or the wife of a dignitary that was on her deathbed. And in her last number of breaths, she said, "God just told me that in seven generations of the king, in seven kings from now, he's going to bring revival to our nation." And this guy said, "It's been seven kings, and we believe you are the one, and we're asking for a revival to come to our nation." And you look at that, and you're going, who but God could orchestrate something for 175 years this is held? Seven kings later, what's the day of visitation? We have no idea. The plans of God are so huge, so awesome. And yet you see these things and you're going, God, just keep us in our places. Instead of us just worrying about who's going to do this and what's going to happen, man, let's get on the train of the gospel and say, God, what do you want to do next? And because he's working. There's mighty, mighty things going on. And so I just wanted to inform you today of some of those things. We still don't have an answer on the prisons because there's been some twisting and turning of things, but they're still working on it. And so it's still wide open to all them prisons, but they will probably start with, I forget how many he said. I think 164 are privately owned prisons that if they do start, they'd probably go in that direction. So just continue to pray for wisdom in that area for Kyle and also for these nations. By the way, since he's been home, government officials from Nigeria called him and are talking to him. And another guy that he has never met and never talked to from Nigeria, a pastor of one of the largest churches there, called him up and said, "I don't know why, I don't know what, but God spoke to me just a little bit ago and told me that when you come to Nigeria, I am to put myself at your disposal." And so you look at that and you're just going, okay, probably going to Nigeria. And so you see the Apostle Paul with the Macedonian call, and you see these kinds of things. Well, God didn't stop at Apostle Paul's day. He's still working the same things today, and we have to be willing to hear and also to go. And so I just encourage you today to be in prayer for that, but also for ourselves, that we would be very, very conscious of what God wants to do in this day. I so appreciate our worship team. I'm going to tell you, I've got a message to speak, but you talk about priming the pump. These songs so spoke to me. I love Shout to the Lord. That's an early Hillsong song. And man, I remember when that came out and just what it did in my heart. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. And I hope, I'm trusting, I'm believing that the shout is going to come back to the church. That there's going to be a clarion call from the church to repentance in the United States of America. And so we'll hope for that and trust God to do that because I know he wants it more than we do. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. And I know this is a very familiar passage, but we're not going to go in a familiar way. I felt God gave me this message the other night. Well, actually, just yesterday. I've told you a number of times how God speaks to me, and I was up one night, and I thought, well, any one of these subjects would be great, God, which one is it? And I finally fell asleep, and it wasn't any of them. And so you never know why. It's probably just me and pizza or whatever. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read a number of verses here, but I'm going to give you specific points of it that I want you to look at. A lot of times we look at this passage and we love to talk about no condemnation. That's not the point of this in this message. I want to provoke us this morning to something even deeper, I believe. And when we get there, I'll make it very clear to you. It says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I want to go back just a little bit and help you understand something. Them first three verses there talk about the new covenant. That's what it's really explaining. And sometimes I want to tell you, it's easier to live under the law than it is under the Spirit of life. You know what? Our flesh would love to have rules. Really would. Our flesh would love to have rules so that we can just achieve whatever we want to and be as good as we want to be. But what it won't take us into is personal obedience. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from that religious law that governed us from the outside and transforms us now into being understood from the inside. That's what the Spirit of life is meant to do. And when it says that it has made us free from that, what it means is I used to be a slave to sin. Therefore, the only law I could observe was the law of sin and death, which required sacrifice. And now we're looking at things much differently because the sacrifice was there. So I actually have been delivered from slavery and declared free from the law of sin and death. That's what that means. You're taken from slavery and pronounced free. You're now a free man. But I think that we in our culture of this nation have a hard time understanding what that freedom is supposed to look like. And today that's what I want to open up for us. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, what's the flesh? The flesh is the natural man. That's what I was born with. All of its desires, all of its lusts, all of its dreams, all of its hopes, all the things that come from my natural mind, that's my flesh. It's my identity. It's everything I am in the natural person. All right? And then it says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do? They mind the things of the Spirit. Well, let me just help you a little bit to understand what I believe it's trying to say. When we mind things, it's where we spend and focus our attention on, and those are the things that will tell us what it is that we're chasing after. If my plans for tomorrow are simply doing the next thing, then that's what I do. And if I never get brought over into things of the Spirit in my mind, then I'm not going to do the things of the Spirit, because until my mind processes Spirit things, my actions will not produce Spirit things. And so if we think we're just going to get better because we go to church or because even we try to do good, that's not the ticket. You have to mind the things of the Spirit. In other words, you're going to have to know the Word. You're going to have to learn to trust the Holy Spirit of God speaks to every one of us who are born of the Spirit of God. And that's where we're going to go. All right? So it doesn't matter how good you are. Learning how to walk in the Spirit is a process. But at some point, you have to step over the threshold of saying, well, that's just me. It's not. If it's a spiritual understanding, the natural man does not process spiritual things. He only desires physical things, natural things. It says the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually understood. To the natural man, spiritual things are foolish. That's what Scripture says. And so things that we look at, and many of us, I think we need to look at it and say, you know what? I am on the journey because I'm not like I used to be. But sometimes we just sit there and we think, well, I'm not good enough and I'm not like them and I don't know what I'm doing exactly. And yet we're missing the point. Because what he wants to do is grow every one of us up individually. You can't walk under somebody else's faith. You can't operate under the authority that they have in the Spirit. You can't operate under what they tell you in the Spirit. You're going to have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. That's the biggest thing in Christianity. And yet, many times, if it's not spoken out, we just kind of live by what other people say. I look at, my wife and I were talking yesterday some, and the difference between condemnation and conviction. You know why? You have to discern that in your own life. Because the Holy Spirit wants to bring conviction to you. The way the law used to bring to you was condemnation. You know what the difference between condemnation and conviction is? This is me thinking it. Shame. Condemnation will shame you. Conviction is to bring you forward without shame. The Holy Spirit has no desire to shame you. He wants to grow you. And so if you're living in shame and if you're constantly going back to what you're not, that's not the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit is, I know where you are and I know that's where you, what you're doing. But I want to tell you, I can change you if you'll trust me. I can move you from where you are if you'll pursue me. If you'll walk according to my ways, if you'll hear me in that time, I can bring deliverance to you. And that's really what he's saying in this passage. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, that is to mind the things of the flesh, the natural man, is death. But to be spiritually minded is Zoe life, the life of God, and peace. Peace is awesome. The peace of God is one of the greatest assets you'll ever have in your life. Because the peace of God will tell you who you are when you can't even believe for who you are. The peace of God can walk you through circumstances you never thought you could walk through. The peace of God can calm your heart in times when you would have great distress going on, and yet it speaks to your mind and says, what are you worried about? Why do you have to respond like that? What is this? Is this your fight, or did you already give it to me? And so these are things I want us to understand. Carnal-mindedness is death. In other words, it's going to leave you in a place where you have to figure it out. And believe me, we can't figure it out. But spiritual-mindedness settles the question, said, guess who's not in charge? Me. So I'll just follow after him. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is actually an enemy of God, an enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I want to get very specific here just for a moment. If you struggle with sin over and over, you struggle with having to control your life, you struggle with even addictions. I'm telling you, when you look at that verse, you can either have condemnation or you can have conviction. Because you and I are walking in a flesh that still has a strength and a power that goes with us everywhere we go. My flesh still wants to be pleased. It loves what it loves. And you know what its end is? Death. And that's why when we fully understand this, death is not an enemy, death is a transport. I finally get rid of the thing that's trying to pull me down, and I finally am released to be who I really am. Spirit of God on the inside of me. So when I look at this, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, it doesn't mean you're in a body and you can't please God. No, those who are carnally minded cannot please God. It's just a simple statement. But if you have a desire to follow after God, I want to tell you that's not natural. Only the Spirit of God can prompt you to desire the things of God. And what he wants you to do is get used to that voice that's telling you, stop this and turn here. And if he tells you to turn, what he's saying is, repent. Some people don't like the word repent. They'll then say turn, because it means the same thing. What are you going to turn? I'm not even going to tell you, turn away from sin. But I can tell you how to turn away from sin. Turn to God. Stop saying, oh God, deliver me from this. Start saying, God, I want to follow after you, and I will chase you, and I will come after you, and I desire to follow after you. And I had a neat thing happen this week. I got to go down to a prison several hours away and meet a guy that I had never met before that's dying of brain cancer. And, he'd never been a Christian and been in a mess all his life. And yet, when I got there, and I mean, they had to introduce me because I didn't even know who he was. Big man, but humbled man, because brain cancer's not good. Any of you know that's been there. But you know what? He thinks God doesn't speak. And yet, he told me about a paper that he was prompted to write, and all it was one word, and he taped it on the ceiling above his bed. Surrender. I said, you think that's natural? God spoke to you and told you, this is going to be what you need. He said, well, I don't know. I mean, all he's saying is, God don't speak to me. He just did. Because I will tell you, we don't naturally surrender. There is nothing natural about surrender. And yet, what did he say? I have to learn how to do this. I said, that's why I'm here. These are the kinds of things that God wants to show in the lives of people, and he wants to instruct them even when they don't know they're being spoken to. I think he's speaking already in here. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That to me is kind of a linchpin verse right there. Some of us are afraid to even say that the Spirit of God dwells in me because my performance doesn't seem to be the thing that others would consider the ways that God would work in my life. And the truth is, that's called the fear of man. You're more worried about what somebody thinks of you than you are in your personal understanding of what God's speaking to you. That's one of the biggest reasons why we will fall into condemnation, because the Spirit will always, the Spirit will never remind you of your past, but the enemy will always bring up your past. He'll keep you looking back as long as you're willing to look back. And I just tell people, they'll be telling me something, this and this and this. And I said, is that in the past? Well, yeah. I asked this guy. This guy has been, and please understand, he's a loving man. But he has sacrificed a lot for his addiction all through his life. He's been in prison 3 times for drugs. Never hurt nobody. Just constant addiction to drugs. But now with brain cancer, different outlook. I said, okay, brother, if you get out of here, what's the chances you're going back to drugs? He goes, zero. You kidding me? I can't play with that stuff. I'm on limited time. Funny how that works. And please understand me, not to offend him in any fashion. I said, you know what? You've been arrested a number of times. That really didn't work. But now you've been arrested, and this one's going to do it for you. I said, that's the mercy of God. But see, we can recognize it in others. What about the mercy of God in our lives? What has God arranged so that our focus would be off of ourselves and brought into something that he's going to change in us, or that he's going to use for a great testimony? And that's the kind of thing that we have to look at and say, God, what do you want in me? How can I best serve you? He said, well, if I walk you through this, you'll be able to tell some other people what you went through, and I'll use it for my glory if you're willing to walk it out in obedience. There's no problem with that. If we're really sold out for him, if we really want to walk out in the Spirit, stop worrying about what everybody else thinks and start listening for the voice of instruction that says, this is what I need you to do and this is what I need you to be. Because if you're going to walk in the fear of man, I'll guarantee you, you'll walk in condemnation. The enemy will make sure of it. It's not necessary. But you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you and you know it. Just like that man, surrender. That's not natural. That's the Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Or the body is going to be dead because of sin. It's going to pay the penalty for the sin that your body has caused. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the Spirit of life, now living on the inside of me, is just waiting for this body to die so that he can now be who he's supposed to be. Unless you're she, then she, okay? I mean, we're not in confused days. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. I don't think we have to wait for that. I think we can have living bodies now. He who raised Jesus from the dead, because Jesus in spirit was perfect, death couldn't hold him. Well, if we are reckoned to be dead now, we can live freely for Christ. And that's what we're going to get to. But I'm still not to the place where I want you to pay attention. So, I mean, I want you to, but we're getting to the main points. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, by the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So if you by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you think you by the Spirit mortify the deeds? It's because he speaks. And he might say something as simple as, you know that'll kill you, right? Or he might say, you know, this is something that I can't cooperate with. Or he might say something like, you know, if I could show you something different that would fulfill you, you wouldn't need this in your life. All of those things are things that the Spirit would speak. And yet if we're not used to it, or if we love our own control, and that's an American thing, by the way. We love control. Oh, yeah. Give me control. Until something comes up in our life that is completely out of control, and then we go, now what? Like brain cancer. I was thrilled. That man can barely stand up because he had a seizure and a stroke. His left side doesn't work very good. Can't grab things with his left hand. Takes him about 30 seconds to stand up, and yet he insisted twice to stand up and give me a hug. That's the Spirit of God. Not say that, except he's attracted to it. He's seeking it. Why? He's got a death sentence, but he wants life. Hallelujah! So do we. All of us have the death sentence in us. But it's going to be okay if we're walking the Spirit. Verse 14. This will be one of the most important verses today, okay? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, in a little capsule, what he's saying is, if you hear me talking to you, recognize you're mine. I don't talk to people who are not my children. I speak expressly, openly, to those who have invited me to speak to them. And when I hear things, that's one of the most encouraging things I have in my life, is when I know that I can hear the Spirit of God speaking to me because he shows me something or tells me something, and I'm not thinking that, and yet I go, wow, that's awesome. Sometimes even when I'm speaking from the pulpit, there will be a thought comes into my mind and I'm going, and I'll probably say it, but I'm going, that wasn't me. That's really good. And I'm not that clever. That was you. That's awesome. You know what it is? It's my witness. And that's what the Spirit of God is. He's a witness. He witnesses the life and the Word of God. Jesus said when he comes, he will not testify of himself, but of me. Why? Because I'm the Word of God. And the Word of God will testify in us by the Spirit who we are if we'll pay attention. And the only way to grow in the power of God in the speaking and hearing is to practice. God, is that you? He doesn't mind you asking, by the way. Was that you? Did you really say that? Or was that just me? Test it. Use it. Perform it. And watch what happens. Most of the time, in the early times, all he's going to do is say, hey, you got some time? Open your Bible. Now, I wouldn't be like George here right now. He's going through the book of Numbers. Don't start in Numbers. I'd go forward quite a few chapters. It's okay. You don't have to read all the first part to get to, you know, the Gospels. I would go there. Because when you get there, the one who brought the great covenant to us is Jesus Christ. But don't stop there. Make sure you get into the book of Acts. Because the one that's going to empower you is the promised one in the Gospels. And he's the active one from Acts on. And he's still active today. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, slavery, again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. It was not natural to us. We were not naturally in the family. We had to be adopted. And yet when we are adopted, he gives us his name. He gives us his power. He gives us his authority. And he says, you're mine. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe a lot of these things about the Abba Father thing, the floaty things and all this kind of stuff. Really what it's declaring is, and you can look it up in your Strong's because it's actually not a Greek word. Abba. It's an adopted word. But what it really would mean is my claiming of my Father. I receive the adoption and I say, my Father. It's the understanding that he has given my name on the will of his inheritance. And I am satisfied in that. And now I listen to him and I respect him and I honor him because he is my Father. Let me find my spot here. Okay, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I've kind of explained that, but what I'm saying is if you can hear, trust the adoption papers. There's no sense in doubting yourself. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit and the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you can get down to the heart where God looks, man look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. If your motive, if your desire is to follow after God, God will honor that in you, but you've got to give him the room to demonstrate his power in your life. You can't just keep going doing what you're doing, just continue on in the same pattern and expect God's going to overtake you and somehow change you if you're not investing yourself. He wants to bring you in. He desires you greatly. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Verse 18, very familiar. For I reckon That would be the West Virginia talk, I reckon, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, let me just say that. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, simply as comparing two worlds. One is telling us this is the best thing. The other one is telling us that's the best thing. And the one we listen to is the one we're obeying. And yet what he's saying, I have figured out, this is the Apostle Paul saying, I have figured out that the sufferings of this present time aren't even comparable, aren't worthy to even be compared to the glory that he told me I share in because I'm a child of God. They're not even in comparison. If you understand this and you understand this, the question is over. I can't afford to stay in this because look what he has for me. And I, even if this is all the suffering, it's okay. That's what the children of God say. Are you with me? Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature, us, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You understand what that's saying? All it means is the earnest expectation of the creature, me, because I've set my heart in affinity with Christ and the kingdom of God. All I'm waiting for is the cocoon to split so that the real me gets left. And I'm now free to be the person I'm meant to be. I go into the spirit realm and I live with God. And that's who I am. The only thing that holds me here is this tent, what is called in Hebrews. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. I don't know if you understand that, so I'll explain it. What's vanity? Mostly selfish desires. That's what sin brings to us. I want what I want. And it says that we have been subjected to vanity, not because we ask for it, but because the one who brought us into this through Adam, not that one, the first one, brought sin into the world, and now our bodies are subject to sin. We didn't ask to do that. It's not because we wanted it. But now he has given us the understanding that there's another way, and he subjected us in that so that we would want to get out of this and get into this, and that's the hope. It isn't always going to be like this, and I don't always have to put up with this, and there's going to be a time coming when I am released from this so that I can go to that. And that's the hope. And he subjected us in this vanity so that we would look forward to that and not fall in love with this. Is that making sense to you? 21, last verse in this passage for me. Because the creature itself, us, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What is corruption? It is the constant breaking down and heading towards death. Shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, what I feel this message is all about is this. All of us have minds, all of us have memory, all of us have issues. Every one of us have them. But are we going to concentrate on our issues to declare who we are the child of? Or are we going to start looking into the perfect law of liberty and realize I am a child of God? Because I will tell you this, you know, we can sing the songs, but if we don't have the goods in us, it's just a song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Then why are you fearful? How come that fear controls your ideas and motives? I am a child of God. Okay, then say it. Live it. And what I want you to hear this morning is, Stop being intimidated by the enemy's accusations and start listening to the voice of the Spirit, which declares your liberty, that you are actually a child of the Most High God, and you'll start pursuing because you started to be convinced that actually I am a believer and I am desiring to follow after God. Therefore, I'm going to pursue what is right for me and not just be continually brought back into the shell of death and reminded of who I'm not. Lots of people out there are convinced of who they're not. That will hold you for the rest of your life if you let it. That's bondage. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. Have I got it all figured out? Nope. But buddy, I'll tell you, what I have figured out excites me and brings me into a better life. And I look forward to being with Him, no matter what that, how that comes. At some point, the old creepy crawler caterpillar has to crawl up the tree, build a cocoon, and then wait for the season, and boop, and all of a sudden what comes out? Woohoo! Dry those wings in the air, my boy, and head on up to glory. That's how it's supposed to work. Because if death can cause us to fear even, it's still a fear. And it's perfected love that casts out fear. In other words, the more I get to know Him, the more I trust Him. The more I trust Him, the less fear I have, the more freedom I have. The more freedom I have, the more joy I will walk in. Hallelujah. So here's the heart of the message. I believe we are in very, very critical times. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to know that, but I'm talking spiritually. There is so much false teaching and so much false doctrine out there. And people are falling for it left and right. And some of it is just because, I'm just going to say it, it appeals to the flesh. That's all it does. And it's easy to go in that vein because if it appeals to the flesh, I can tell you who's going to respond. The flesh. And because it's got a spiritual side to it, you can accept that, and pretty soon you're walking in another area, and it has changed who you are. It puts you in a different position, and you're going, yeah, this is great. This is awesome. But you don't have what you used to have in fire. You don't have what you used to have in joy and in peace. And in those things, you kind of lost the zeal. Kind of go through the motions. Much false teaching, false spiritual advertisements. There's so many experts in spirituality that are self-appointed. I see them. I want to just tell you this morning, you better know the Word. Because your authority is found in the Word, because that's the truth. And if you don't know the truth, you can easily be corrupted by the counterfeit. And there are plenty of counterfeits, and we're going to get there. We won't always agree on certain spiritual things. However, agreement is not the most important thing. Scripture says, the hand join hand, iniquity will not go unpunished. If you join yourself to the wrong thing, you'll be in trouble. That's just what it is. The only way you can truly discern that is, Spirit of God, what are you saying to me? And the beauty of who we're supposed to be in this life is, when the Spirit of God speaks to me, I'm not afraid of it, but I'm also not afraid to say it. And if somebody else says, well, I don't know about that, then no problem. I'm not here to convince, but I have to live by this first. But it will also walk me in accountability with others because I can be wrong. I can miss it. But I'm not afraid to say what I hear because I want the Spirit of God to help lead others also. And it might be the thing that I know and the thing that I speak actually now brings somebody into a place with God that they wouldn't have been without it. And that's called our testimony. We are to have revelation going on in our lives constantly because we meditate. Read Psalm chapter 1. I won't make you read it. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor walketh in the way of somebody. in sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's beside the river of life. And he'll have all of these things coming into him. Why? Because he invested in the spiritual things. And he'll bear fruit, every fruit in his season. That's the tree of life. 12 manner of fruit in its season. It's one of my enigmas for heaven. There's no night. So how do we know how long a day is? And yet the fruit is going to change every month. And so I'm convinced now that all we can do is measure time by the fruit change. It must have been a month. Last month was oranges. This month it's apples. Knowing what the Spirit is telling and teaching you is the most important thing you can cultivate in your life. If you want to learn how to do that, walk in the Word. And then later on, when you're in a situation or somebody's talking to you, what will happen is that Word will come up again without you even trying, and you'll go, oh, that's pretty cool. I forgot that I knew that. Well, he didn't. Because you had invested in that Word, and suddenly it comes up in you and you're able to share that with somebody else. And you're going, that's awesome. Yep, and that's the Spirit of God telling you, you're one of my children. You're one of my children. Don't forget it. You're one of my children. If I'm convinced I am a child of God, not by words in a song, but by experience with the Scripture, then I will have the confidence to live among others who won't. I know circumstances don't rule me. I know every voice that speaks is not necessarily of the Spirit. I realize that the Spirit of God will convict me without shame. I realize myself by Scripture, when any doubt or fear confronts me, I don't have to win arguments. I need to win souls. I'll never win souls by looking back in my life. I want my testimony to have me looking forward so that every place I go, there's going to be somebody who says, how did you overcome? I want to read something to you. This is vital, and it will help you understand where I'm coming from with this. How many of you have heard of Jeremiah Johnson? A number of you have. He's a prophet guy, okay? He put this out 2 days ago. It's lengthy, but listen. A plea to the prophetic. Some of you who have been here, I've been talking like this for a long time. Finally. There is so much fear-mongering and conspiracy theory being passed off as prophetic online that it is beyond heartbreaking. I, too, was once blind in 2020. But now in 2024, I truly see. And the price for my wake-up call was public repentance, humiliation, and a massive course correction that has taken years and had to be done openly because of the sphere of influence God has given me. Despite the pain, agony, and controversy of all of it, I am truly grateful for the heart surgery God did on me and the grace he has extended to me in these last 36 months. I will definitely walk with a limp the rest of my life, but it was totally necessary. Whether you watched from afar back then or follow me closely now, please listen to me. The prophetic deception over the years is so subtle. And because I uniquely experienced it and was delivered from it, I can tell you that its jaws are locked on modern-day prophetic ministry like never before. I am beyond grieved and don't know what else to do except reach out like this in hopes that just one prophet will consider what I am saying to a poor saint in the body of Christ following prophetic fear-mongering and conspiracy theories that they will wake up. Cell phone outages, food shortages, plagues, extreme weather, war predictions, political elections, Fox News against CNN will continue to dominate the prophetic words this year and beyond. Why? Because fear-mongering and conspiracy theories are number one bestsellers. They bring you more money, partners, fame, subscribers, and more. Again, I speak from experience. It's a very real thing that the masses crave more and more and more. The more bizarre the prediction is, the more it appeals to carnality. The more hysterical and urgent the alert is, the more it stirs the crowds up into a frenzy. I want you to hear me straight. I unfortunately had to pay a dear price to understand what I am about to say. God exists outside of time, and the center of his kingdom is not the United States of America. He governs from the circle of the earth and not the Oval Office. We need a global prophetic perspective in the earth, not an American one. AT&T going down today for a few hours did not cause God to dispatch the angel Gabriel to deal with it. Another plague, and that's how you can tell it was very current. Another plague hitting the earth will not cause heaven to panic. Rather, Jesus already warned of these events in Matthew 24 and 25. Joe Biden or Donald Trump getting four more years will not usher in the return of the Lord. Will doing a bunch of YouTube videos, prophetic words, writing books, and so on all these subjects launch you into greater visibility? Of course. But what if God isn't authorizing any of it? I beg of you, please pray and ask God to deliver you from prophecy that is nothing more than fear-mongering and conspiracy theory. I get it. I truly do. It's exciting. It's intoxicating, and it's lucrative. And prophetic adrenaline is so dangerous and toxic that it's scary. What kind of prophets, then, should we all be listening to? And I'm so glad you ask, and he'll list five things. First, listen to the prophets who are burdened for the state of the church and are consistently calling for prayer, repentance, holiness, and the fear of the Lord. I want you to hear that. Not selling books. You know what those prophets do that do all that stuff? They shut down other prophets because then we don't think we hear. When the truth is, there are prophets right in this room that God wants to bring into that place where you can speak it because you see it. But we're afraid we're not like them, so we're afraid that we're not it. Number two, listen to the prophets who are encouraging and strengthening the church by preaching the gospel and making disciples. Warning the body of what could be coming is permissible, but what are we actually doing to save souls and lead the saints deeper into their walk with Christ as they prepare for things to come? We're warned that it's going to be terrible. And we just finished the book of Revelation in River School. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to be here. Ugly doesn't begin to describe what's coming. Number three, listen to the prophets who are teaching the people how to hear God for themselves. Look for those who offer mentoring, training, and steer away from those who create an unhealthy and ungodly dependence upon their voice in an hour of crisis. In other words, well, I got to go back to another prophetic conference so I can hear what's latest and greatest is. Problem is, by the time you get the DVDs, it's probably passed and they've already got another one coming. Why don't he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Each church in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Number four, listen to the prophets who are preparing the bride for the second coming of Jesus Christ. They have been marked for eternity and have their gaze set on the age to come. We must understand that there's going to be days coming in this earth that are going to be much darker than the day we're living in. And the United States doesn't make us exempt. In fact, I would say this, it wouldn't surprise me that we would find at some point great judgment in this nation before any of the other things happen, because we have lived so well and we've done away with God in many areas simply because we don't need him. My life is awesome. What do I need him for? He'll let us know. If we think it's always going to be like this, I don't believe that for a moment. But he will always walk with his people. Number five, listen to the prophets who are loving their spouses and families well. Character and integrity will always be more valuable in the sight of God than prophetic accuracy. I refused to throw the prophetic away. I refused to throw the prophetic away after the last election cycle. I can't because I did not, God did not throw me away. Rather, he crushed me, refined me, and delivered me, and has required better. This is my message in love to my prophetic brothers and sisters. We can and must do better than what we are currently offering the body of Christ. Peddling fear and more unverifiable prophecies is not our best. Wowing crowds with our long-winded prophecies that don't even mean anything is not credible. Many of us need to get offline for a season and stop getting our supposed prophecies from the news and insiders. If we will not repent, God will tear down our ministries in order to save our souls. He loves us that much. Thank you for hearing my heart and considering my concerns. The misuse of prophecy should never draw us into no use. It just means we must demand higher standards and more accountability. Come on, prophets. We can do this in 2024 and beyond. Now, the reason I read that is because that to me is a mark. If somebody who has been well known and has walked it out does a public repentance and is willing to say it, call himself out and call others out, that would be a trusted voice. Because now, mark the words that will come. God wants to clean up the church, the prophets, all of the extracurriculars, all that stuff. But I'm telling you, we're in pretty crazy days. He's got a lot of comments that come after that. Many of them are really good. Some of them not so good. Surprise. When I first came into ministry, most of you have heard this before. Back in the early computer days, with a dot matrix printer that had the things on the side that you had to tear off because that's the way it worked through, you know. Some of you are going, yeah, wow. Sounds like that was when you had a dial telephone. It ain't that long ago. Some of us are a little older, that's for sure. But he gave me, and I, as ugly as it would have been, I printed this off. I believe it was in the very first part of my pastoring. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, in other words, money. And the people love to have it so. But what will the end thereof be? There are so many things that are plaguing the church. And I'm just going to speak to a couple of them because I believe it's so important. And I want you to hear me. But don't judge me for it. Ask the Lord about it. There's so many of the church that don't believe they have to even have a recognition of the work of the Spirit in their lives. You can't survive without the Spirit. He is the one working the church today. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. But what is currently happening in the church is everybody becomes an expert. The church has left spiritual deliverance for self-help. And a lot of the self-help comes in self-care stuff. I'm just going to tell you. You know what it creates? Isolationism. Pretty soon I'm in charge of my life. And I know what I need. Look, I know everybody needs rest. That is not new to mankind. It didn't happen in the 21st century. But what we're calling spiritual stuff is this. And some of the things where you have to go out back and figure out where Jesus was. Why don't you just read the word and find out where Jesus was? He was with you because he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Just because I don't like what happened to me doesn't mean that he wasn't aware of what's happening to me. If he's omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, he knows exactly where I am. My job is to surrender myself to him and say, God, I recognize that I wasn't really understanding where you were when I was walking through that. But I will tell you this, you have never left me. And I recognize now that you're using that to pull me into a new grip that is really bringing me life. But I want to tell you also, there is deliverance in Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. But it doesn't take you having 14 counseling sessions to do that. And if you need 14 counseling sessions, do it. No problem. But there is a deliverance that can come in a moment from the power of God. And that's what we should be seeking. It's a little bit like some of, you know, we believe in healing, but we don't see people healed. That's why I have testimony. It's because he heals today, but does he heal every time? No. He lets people die, actually. Imagine that. You know who the happiest people are? Those who have died in Christ. There ain't no way in the world they're coming back for a second to this hellhole. And God even believes that because he's going to destroy it with fire. He's just going to say, let the dead bury the dead, and I'm going to bury the earth. But thankfully, nobody will be on it when he does it. But see, here's what I want you to understand. The Spirit on the inside of you, if you're going to activate you in the Spirit man, he will alert you to some of these things. Ask him. Even if you don't like a couple of things I just said, ask him. Ask him what he thinks. He said, I don't want you trying to keep yourself. I want to keep you by the power of my Spirit. I will reveal myself to you. I will show you where you can come to. I'll take you anywhere you want to go if you'll just trust me to walk with you. Circumstances cannot rule us. Hardship cannot rule us. We are not fit to keep ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives every day, and we need each other because any of us can be deceived. And I can't afford to get off by myself somewhere and just have my own thing, because I will tell you this, that's where the enemy's sphere is, and he will walk us in circles, and pretty soon we'll believe all kinds of things. And we'll be convinced. But we are the righteousness of God in Christ if we believe his word. God's calling us out today. Second Timothy chapter 3. This is that chapter. This know that in the last day perilous times will come, but I'm not going to read that part. You know that. But listen to what it says in verse 12. Yea, and this is after Paul says what he's been through. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why? Because the enemy who is against you and opposing you because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to bring people to you that oppose you because you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You don't have to do anything to be judged of people. All you got to do is be of a right spirit. And others around you will come to you and say, who do you think you are? I'll tell you who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And if you'd like to know more about that, I'll be glad to talk to you. I'm not trying to be more than that. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. I'm just trying to live out his life in me. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know what will deceive ministers? Numbers. Not the book of Numbers. Numbers. Accolade. Yay! Stage. Oh, yeah. It can easily do that. And you have to look at that and go, What is the deal? I will tell you, that's what's really hard today is I think there have been many who started out right. But I'm going to tell you, we're not built for great applause. It'll taint us. We have to be very, very careful about that. Money. I don't care who we are. All of us can be tainted by some of those things, and it can bring out not the best in us. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. He's not talking about getting saved, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, unto salvation. He's already saved. He's saying, I want to tell you that the word of God that you know in Scripture will take you all the way through into full salvation, which is being no longer in faith. Now you're in sight. Because there are three tenses to salvation. I am saved. I'm justified by faith. Faith in his blood, if you want to really be accurate. I am being saved. I'm being sanctified by the Spirit of God, who every day wants to teach me more and more and more. But I will be saved when I finally split the cocoon and am released from the flesh house, which keeps me on the earth. And that's real salvation. And that's the salvation he's talking about. I hope this makes sense to you. Worship team, if you want to come. Because here's the thing that I want to bring to you. It has to start with you being convinced that you're a child of God. It starts when you can say, God, I'm going to receive the voice of your Spirit as my truth. I'm not going to sit back and just let my past dictate to me. I'm not going to let the voices that I've always listened to dictate to me. I'm going to get around people who are born of the Spirit of God, and I'm going to let some of these losers who only operate in the sphere of death, I've got to get out of there. Yes, you do. Because that voice of death will keep you listening to the voice of death. We are not to have fellowship with those who are not of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you can't talk to them. It means that we are not intimate with each other in our conversations and we participate in each other's actions. I don't fellowship with them. I have to make separations. I have to make distinctions. I have to do these things in my life so that I can live godly in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, children of God. And I hope you can receive this today, because I believe that the power that God wants to demonstrate in our lives will never come until we cross that threshold of truly living in this, that we who are led of the Spirit, we are the sons of God. That's who we are. And whether or not, you know, you want to talk about some of these things I've talked about, great, but take him to the Lord first. So many times we're just tempted to go, well, I don't care for that, or I don't like that. Great. Ask him first, and then come talk to me. No problem. But I can see how, I get around a few places. The same stuff is being done in all of the churches. All of them talk about this, how some people, they just lost their need for the church. They don't think they need that anymore. They're just watching for themselves. Good luck. I can't do that. I know the word, but I know me. I need you. I need the security. I need the accountability. I need the love. And I want to give that same thing to you. Can you receive that? Stand with me, would you? I've asked him to sing that song. When I heard this song, especially the first part of this, good, I don't have mine up there. When I heard the first part of this, I'm going, there's my message right there. Can you pop them first words on there? Have you got them up? This is our God. Sorry. You mean you didn't get it just because I thought it? So, see those words? Your grace, the divine power of the Holy Spirit, is enough. It's more than I'll ever need. At your word, we sang this now. Remember that? Go to the next phrase if you would. I wait for you. Draw near again. Let your spirit make me new. Well, how is the spirit going to make me new? Just going to take over? No, you're in charge. He's going to speak to you. He's still going to let you be in the driver's seat, but he's going to tell you which direction you should go and where you should turn. That's the power of the Spirit. When I heard this song, I agree, Mina, I wanted to fall at his feet. Let's sing it together.